And we looked at how God is the Most High, the Almighty. And I know a few people have commented that they were, informed, encouraged. They were had their hearts lifted up thinking about how important and amazing God is. The God is high and lifted up. But I thought we should just go through the rest of the chapter. We won't go quite as detailed. We'll hit more than one verse today. And we will see how good our God truly is. And the end of this psalm, we have a whole bunch of prophecies that directly relate to our Savior Jesus. And they are precious promises that God gave concerning His Son. And it's so encouraging. This is a very oft-quoted passage in the New Testament, Psalm 91. Let's go now in Psalm 91. We'll read the first five verses. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Here we have the start of this psalm, and it is a psalm of great comfort because it describes our God not just as high and lifted up as we saw last week, but it shows God as our Redeemer, our Deliverer. He is the one who protects us. He's the one who shelters us. Notice there in verse 2, we find there is an affirmation or a declaration of what is true. Here the psalmist is not saying, and in the future I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. But this is his current statement of fact. He is saying, God is currently my refuge, my fortress, my God. And then he gives his future outlook. In Him will I trust. In God, I will trust. So this is not just the current state of the psalmist. This is his future intention, that he will trust in God. And here he is declaring it. Sometimes we know the facts, and we know them very well. Maybe you can list them out. You know, someone says, oh, what do you know about Jesus? And you're like, okay, yep, he came, he died, he rose again. You know, you list off the facts. We can't be content with just having them in our head. We need to affirm them. We need to say, this is true, and say, we're going to stand by it. This is who God is and what He is to us. This is how He interacts with us. And we are declaring this is how He's going to continue to protect us. This is how He's going to continue to deliver us, because we will continue to trust Him. Last week we mentioned briefly in verse 1 that that word dwelleth means to abide, to stay someplace long term. This isn't the holiday home you rent out for a day. This is the place that you make your dwelling is with the Almighty. And here we find again that intention, I will trust in Him. He currently is my fortress, but I'm not leaving this fortress. I'm not leaving the defense of my God. The plan is to stay under God's care. I want us also to see a word that's repeated a number of times in this psalm, but it's repeated a couple of times even in verse 2. It is the word my. Now, we don't want a super selfish or reflexive that is always looking at what we're getting out of things mentality. But notice the psalmist is not saying God is a refuge, God wants to be a refuge for us. God wants to be a fortress, a walled city unto us. No, he says, this is my God. He is my refuge, my fortress. This is very personal relationship. The psalmist was a Jewish person. And he doesn't even in this verse say, God is our, the Jewish nation's, refuge or protection. He makes it personal. And Christian, too often we say God is the comfort and the stay that we have as a people who come before God. But do we make it personal and say God is my comfort? He is my refuge. Are we content with being part of the community of Christians? Or do we want that one-on-one deliverance, that one-on-one shelter from God day by day? In other words, you need a personal relationship. Some people think that the Old Testament, it was all about the nation of Israel, and it was all about this, you know, nation view, and God was not dealing with the individual. But we find over and over and over again that those individuals who went to God, who put their trust in Him, they had an individual relationship with God. It was not just as a community. It wasn't just on because of their Jewish heritage. It was because they had that personal relationship with God. Again, they are dwelling with Him, and He is their walled city. He is that protection that they need. This brings us then to a few examples or pictures that the psalmist has for what kind of protection we can expect from God. You see, it's one thing to say, oh, God will protect us, God will, you know, He'll keep us safe. And it's another thing to say, and specifically, He will protect us in this manner. And here's a picture of what it looks like when God protects us. In verse 3, we find that He delivers thee from the snare of the fowler. Now, there's a couple of words there that are not common. We don't normally snare anything nowadays. At least, I've never met anyone who does. Not on this side of the ocean. A snare is a trap. A trap. In my mind, I always picture the little loop trap that they would use to catch birds or small animals like rabbits. It's just a bit of string, and it's tied in such a way that it will catch. And that word snare means to hold it tight, to grasp it. This is the picture. Someone is trying to snare us. Notice this isn't talking about snaring little animals or birds, but snare us. Someone is trying to snare us, and the Lord is delivering us from the snare. We know that the devil is that roaring lion seeking to devour, but he's also the trickster, the tempter, the one who wants to trip us up, tie us down, and keep us bound here when we are about to be snatched by the person who is tricking us. God is able to deliver us. That word fowler, that means someone who catches birds, just to make it easy there. Catches or uses birds in getting food. Trapping birds. I know in some places they use like a glue type thing on branches, and the birds land on it and they get stuck, and then you can come and take them. There's many different ways of snaring the birds. Here, whether you are big or small, all of us are easy pickings for those who want to destroy our soul. The devil and all of his minions, the world, and even our lusts, those things that want to snare us, God is able to deliver us. Once again, in the New Testament, we find God delivers us specifically from things like that. We can rely upon Him to make a way of escape in temptation. But this was not a truth unknown to those in the Old Testament. They knew God could deliver them from their temptations as well as from the punishment of destruction. The end of the verse there, it says, and from the noisome pestilence. Noisome just means smelly, and pestilence is like disease. God will protect us from noisome pestilences or bad-smelling diseases. This is something you might not notice, something you cannot see. We all are familiar with the concept of there being diseases, and they can be born on the air, or they can be on surfaces that you touch, and you can catch them from someone else. But they're not something you can see. Here, God is not just protecting us from those who would make a prey of us, not just protecting us from the things that we can see but might be deceived about, but here He is able to deliver us from things that we wouldn't even necessarily be able to see. Things that we have no defense to protect us, and yet God can protect us from those small things, those things that sneak in, those things that turn us from one who is healthy to one who is sick. God is able to deliver us. Specifically, this is talking about things that cause us to be ill or sick. So this is also God helping us, not just in spiritual things, but also in our physical things. He is able to protect us, keep us healthy. God is one we can go to at all times for all needs, and He is able to deliver thee. Before we leave this verse, I wanted to point out that word, the third word in the verse, shall. He shall deliver thee. It is not a possible, as in maybe God would be able to even stop pestilences or maybe even rescue you from unseen temptations and dangers. No, God is able to deliver us. He is able. This is a wonderful truth. If we were to maybe, I don't know how you say it. The picture, though, is very clear. We have God delivering us from things that we aren't recognizing that would destroy us, and He delivers us out of them. He also protects us from things that we can't see. Our God is truly our refuge, and we can trust in Him. If we were to sum up the next 5 or 6 verses here, we would say, here are reasons why we can trust in God. Here are the ways we can trust in God. Here are the areas where God is trustworthy and good to us. This is where He shines as the high and lifted up one, the one who is almighty, but the one who reaches down and takes care of us about things that are so small we can't see them, and delivers us from enemies, even though we are so weak and pitiful in His sight. He takes care for us. He comes near. He comes close to us. If we go now to verse 4, the psalmist returns to the picture of abiding under the shadow, and he fleshes it out a bit more. He says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. Now, is anyone here ticklish? Okay, a few people are smiling and nodding. Okay, I am. Okay, yes, I am apparently ticklish. I don't want to admit anything like that, because then I'll have trouble with everyone. No. So we might say, abiding under God and under His feathers might be a bit ticklish, but no one says that it's painful to be under a feather, is it? It's not a heavy weight. It's not an iron dome that you put over your head like a helmet. It's not a heavy piece of armor. It's a feather. It's light. It's also something that is very protective. When the bird shelters its babies under its wings, they are protected from lots of things. They're protected from the sight of danger from above. Danger can't see them. They're protected from bad weather, rain, wind, the cold, all of that they're protected from. They're kept at a good temperature, not just it's not just for warming. It can also be the kind of thing where the bird flaps its wings and it cools the nest. The birds can be kept at just the right temperature by their mother with the feathers and the wings of the mother bird. It is a comfortable covering. It is a comfortable location. It is not just protected like a shield dome or protected like a roof over our head, but it's a comfortable place. Now, I know each one of us, we come here, we sit in the comfortable seats, and we have the air conditioning, and we have fans, and we have many ways of making the space comfortable. But how much more comfortable can God make us to dwell? He protects us, but he protects us in a way that is comfortable to us. This is an amazing thing. If the psalmist had started with the end of verse 4, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler, we would have a military picture in our mind of having a very protective, like, helmet, shield, having, you know, the armor on, and we would, anyone here who's worn that knows it's heavy, and it's uncomfortable, and it's hot, and it's not fun to wear. But instead, he started with the picture of a bird being sheltered under the wings of its parent. And this gives us the idea that his truth is not this overbearing weight that sits on us but also protects us. Instead, our God protects us from all these dangers in a very gentle way. I'm glad that the psalmist here uses these pictures. Otherwise, we would not get in our mind's eye that picture of a baby bird under the mama bird and that they're safe and comforted there. We have also the fact that God uses truth to deflect his enemies. Now, we could spend weeks on this, and I think last year we spent at least one week looking at how important truth is. The world today seems to not care about truth. But we find that truth protects us. It is the thing that will defend us. Even if it gets us into trouble, it protects us from inward damage. It protects us from being destroyed. If you start down the path of lies, where does it end? It never ends. It's a cankerous sore that just gets worse and worse and worse until your whole body is consumed. It is that damage that sinks down deep. But truth protects us. Truth protects us. This should be an encouragement to you, as it is to me, that we should be willing to say the truth even if the world thinks it's not appropriate, or it's not kind, or it's not helpful. Remember, this is all in the same verse with God sheltering us under his wings. You tell someone the truth, and if it feels like a burden to them, then that just means they need to go to God, who will make it feathers instead of a heavy weight. They need to go to God, who will protect them comfortably. Because the opposite, or the opposite of telling the truth, will instead wound. It'll leave them vulnerable. I'm sure we've all seen birds flying around, and there are some birds that are really bad about this. I don't know which ones it are that are up here that chase the other birds and attack them and pin them to the ground and kill them. These birds are the predators in the skies. Here, truth protects us from the predators. It protects us from those who are on the lookout for us to destroy us. And the devil is out not just to destroy you and me because we know Christ, but to trap everyone. The devil would like nothing more than to destroy someone's testimony, their ability to be useful to God in the future, even if they're not saved at this point. The devil wants to destroy them. And the truth will protect them. So we need to proclaim the truth. So far, we've seen a lot of proclaiming today. We've seen that we need to proclaim our trust in God. We need to proclaim our relationship with Him. And now we need to proclaim that His truth will protect us. This is, I think, one of the Christian's greatest challenge, to live a life that shows everyone that we are living under God's care. If we now look at verse 5 and 6, they're actually connected, and we won't belabor number 6, but verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Here the psalmist gives us the picture of a terror by night. All of us have experienced at one time or another that bump in the night that, oh, what was that? Go check it out. Go find out what it was, because otherwise it's a terror. It's something that we don't know what it is, and maybe it is dangerous to us. Maybe it's a snake finding its way into the house. Or maybe it's a mouse under the bed. whatever the situation, we need to find out what it is so we can deal with the problem. Or we might find out, like our first month up here in Melanda, we found the curlews waking us up. And the first night, no one had warned us about it. We went from room to room checking to make sure all the kids, they slept right through it. We thought they were crying or screaming, and we're like, oh, I don't know, what's going on? Let's go make sure. Nope, they're all good. And then we were wondering, is it the neighbors? What's going on? It wasn't our neighbor. Anyways, when we figured it out, then we were like, okay, and now I don't even hear them. They might still be there, but we don't hear them. If there was that terror in the night, we wanted to figure out what was going on, this loud crying sound in the night. God protects us not only from ones who want to eat us, to tear us apart limb from limb. Not only does He protect us from unseen pestilence, that is, diseases, or protect us from deceit and snares of the fowler, that is, the one who wants to devour us, but He also protects us from our own minds. He can protect us from our fears. He is the one we can rely upon, so we will not be afraid of the terror by night. Sometimes the little girls will wake up and be afraid of something, and they'll be crying. Maybe it was lightning, maybe it was something else that scared them. And I'm waking up and I'm trying to comfort them, and I'm not afraid that the lightning is flashing and the thunder is shaking the house. That's not scaring me. I'm not afraid of it, but I'm dealing with the terror that they have. God deals with our terror by night. He deals with that. He is able to deal with our emotional and mental problems, those unseen dangers. So we have seen God is interested in small things, big things, tricks. He's dealing with all of these, and now we find that He deals with problems that are far off. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm having a problem, God help me. And we throw up a little prayer, right? Because we see the problem. But each one of these problems are problems that are at least somewhat hidden from our sight. They are things that are catching us unaware. Each one of these. These are all things that God can protect us from. So this is on top of the things that we see when we say, God, I need your help. I need your help right now. God protects us from things that are coming at us from far away. In the end of verse 5, it says, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. I think it's also a good contrast here. Whether night or day, God is still able to deliver us. He is still able to protect us. He is not hindered by darkness. Neither is he without power during the day. He is able to protect us at all times. The arrow, when it flies, you don't often see it. It moves quick, especially if it's aimed at you, because then you're getting the narrow part coming at you, right? If you come looking at it from the side, oh yeah, you might be able to see it. But look, when it's coming at you, it's small and it's moving fast and it's coming at you. There's not much time to react, but God is able to protect us from those dangers that are afar off, that are coming at us really quick. This also is a comfort to us in today when we think you're driving down the road at 100 kilometers an hour and someone's coming the other direction at 100 kilometers an hour. That's pretty fast. The danger can be flying at you in picture form, and God can be protecting you even then. The psalmist here has not yet got to the means that God uses, but he has described all of these different ways that God can protect. In verse 6, that's why I combined 5 and 6, we have God protecting from pestilence, which we've already mentioned, that is diseases that walk in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Here it is diseases that are seen and you try to avoid, but they still catch you, or diseases that sneak up on you unawares. And notice again, God is able to do things at night, in the dark, and also in the bright sunshine, and he is still there, he is still protecting. So the point from this verse 6 is the same that we've already dealt with. Just another picture of it, a pestilence that walks in darkness. That's a good picture, probably better for a horror movie than for anything else. I don't think you want to think too much about a pestilence that's walking. A disease that's creeping up on you is kind of a scary thought. But God is able to protect us from even that. In verse 7, and we'll see here, we only have a few more minutes we won't get through the whole chapter today. We'll read verse 7 and 8, and then we might be finished at that point. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. We have here God protecting in spite of how God is dealing with others all around you. God's protection in verse 7 is personal. Even if 1,000 are falling right next to you, I think the picture here is in war, and you have 1,000 soldiers, and all of them die except you. God's protection is personal. Then it goes on and says, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. It doesn't matter what's happening in the nation or in our region or what kind of destruction we are seeing all around us. God can protect us as an individual. Again, this would have struck very hard to the Jewish mind because they were used to reading the promises that Moses had said to them. If one of you goes forth, you will chase 1,000. Because God's with you. And if, it goes on along those lines where one would be able to defeat many. Here we find, even if all around us destruction is happening, God will protect the one who is abiding with him. The one who is dwelling with him. And that point is made again for us in verse 9. It says, because. This is the reason for the confidence that they can have. This is reason for God's deliverance in spite of so many people around you falling and being destroyed. The reason we will be safe is because we have made the Lord our habitation. We have made the Lord. We mentioned last week that the Most High is the Almighty, is the Lord, and we've got here a number of names for God. Elohim, Yahweh, all of these different names for God listed in this passage, showing us that God is one. He is not divided. He is not he is not fighting against himself in any way. This is God who is doing this for us. We have if we have made him our habitation, he is the one who will keep us and protect us. So verse 7 gives us the physical protection, whether it's hand-to-hand fighting or whether it is a disease that's sweeping through the nation, we can stand and say, God will be with me. God will protect me. Just before we move from this point, don't think this means we are invincible, okay? Dear Christian, you are not invincible. God has not made you a promise that you will live forever in this body on this earth. He has promised you one day when he comes again, he will give us new bodies and we will reign with him in the new heaven and new earth. But don't get those things confused. God may see fit to protect us in a miraculous way. But we should not presuppose that. We shouldn't say, oh, well, then I should jump off the cliff, because even though everyone else, 1,000, 10,000, do so and die, I will survive because I make God my dwelling place. That's not how we ought to react here. But we should have confidence that we can trust God. And if we are relying upon him, he will be with us. He will protect us, sometimes in miraculous ways. Verse 8, we have a final area of protection. This is that the judgment of God, when it falls upon the wicked, will only be something that you view, not something that you experience. And maybe it doesn't stand out that way on the first reading. It says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. It almost sounds like you're going to stand back and see the wicked person get all kinds of good things. But if you look more closely, you will see that the reward of the wicked is death and destruction. The reward of the wicked is punishment. But you will be able to stand back and with your eyes observe what is happening to the wicked, because it won't be happening to you. You won't be being judged for your failings. That is the punishment of destruction. But you will see that reward on the wicked. Many times in the Psalms we have different ones. David, for instance, saying, Lord, how long? How long will the enemies prosper? How long will the wicked be gaining? That's not a direct quote, so don't try and look that word up. But that's the sentiment that the psalmists often have. How long will God withhold his punishment? Well, if you make God your habitation, you won't one day be surprised by experiencing God's judgment, but you will see God's judgment upon the wicked. You will see it with your eyes. Only with your eyes. You won't see it with your other senses. You won't be touching and seeing that judgment has come. You will see it with your eyes from afar. God's judgment will come on the wicked, and you will be able to observe it. This is a great and precious promise. Again, all of this in verse 9 is restated for us. The same thing as we found in verses 1 and 2. That we are abiding in God, that He is our habitation, He's our dwelling, He's the place where we make our home. He, if He is that, He is also our refuge, and He is the one who will protect us. This is the reason we might stand and someone else fall. This is the reason that He covers us gently with His wings, feathers, not iron weights that we have to carry around. He protects us. I do want to point out one more thing there in verse 9. Just that we have God again being mentioned as the Most High. Here the psalmist is not saying God's the Most High, but then He comes down close to us. No, He's still the Most High, that is the most powerful, the only one who we have to stand before in judgment, the only one who created everything, that Most High God, He is the one who is protecting us. If God were just a God like the nation's gods, a God of a region, a God of particular seasons or particular abilities, then we might say, oh, there's a time or a place where we would not be able to rest in God, that He wouldn't be able to protect us, where He wouldn't be able to deliver us. But because God is the Most High, if we are abiding with Him, we are protected with the most protection there is possible. The most. The Most High can protect the most. This is our God. We should rejoice in all that He does. I think sometimes you don't see the problem until after it's already come and God's protected you from it. But we should remember and recount to others the things that God has done in protecting us, delivering us, helping us, both through truth, through His ability to keep our minds in peace, His ability to protect us from things unseen and seen. All of the ways that God protects us, we should declare and say, our God is so good. He is the Most High God. All right, those are all the things we're going to get to today, and we'll finish up this chapter next week, and it'll be fun. We'll be getting into a lot about, some prophecies about Jesus specifically in those last few verses. So if you want, you can look ahead and be encouraged throughout the week. Does anyone have any questions or comments they would like to make? Maybe God delivered you from something this week. No. All right. Yes. Susan. He doesn't kick us out of the nest without being there to keep us up, lifting us up. Yep, no, that's very true. All right, well, let's close with a word of prayer, and we'll go have a cup of tea. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the Most High God. We thank You that You are able to deliver. We thank You that You are willing to deliver us, and Lord, most of all, we're thankful that You are our God, that is, my God in particular, that You are not dealing with us as a group, but as individuals. And Lord, we thank You that Your protection is individual and crafted just for us. It is sufficient for our needs and for all that You have designed for us. Lord, we ask that You would give us eyes to see Your deliverance day after day, and that we would rejoice in Your special, tender care and mercies towards us. We thank You, and we ask that You would be with us through the rest of this Sunday, And we pray that you would give us opportunity to declare your precious name. Amen.